So Shua was making an important point. In terms of the minhag to have milchiks over shvuos, there are a lot, many different reasons given. As Shua was pointing out, one of them is it's a creative way of making a zecher l'mikdash. What's zecher l'mikdash? What was the unique mitzvah of shvuos and mikdash? Shtei halachim. Torah tells us at the end of Sfiras HaOmer, you count up to through 49. On day 50 on shvuos, you start counting with the Korban HaOmer, and you complete it, you climax, the two loaves of chametz that accompanied the kivsei atzeres. It accompanied the special, it was a rarity that you had a korban shlamim shel tzibur, and those were the two sheep that were brought in Shavuos, and the two sheep were accompanied by two loaves, shtei halachim, which were chametz. So shtei halachim is one of the signature mitzvahs of Shavuos in the Beis HaMikdash. So some suggest you make a zecher l'mikdash, we're going to have two loaves. We're going to have two loaves. You always have lacha mishnah every Shabbos and Yontif. No, you're going to be required to eat from two different loaves if, get ready for this, one flavor, one version of the minhag of having milchiks on Shavuos is to try to have both milchiks and fleishiks at the same seuda. That sounds a little complicated, especially now that we're knee deep in Perek Kalabasar. So the idea is, well, you'll start with milchiks, and you'll be eating one of your challahs with milchiks, and then you'll take a break, and you'll come back and have fleishiks with the other challah. So Shua wants to know, one second, why do we need to switch challahs? Is it because of the knife? Is it that you need to switch knives and cut the challah which you have with milchiks that you cut with a milchik knife? So is it the case that the milchik knife made the challah milchik, and that's why we need a second loaf? So that is okay. So in order to figure that out, let's take a step back and let's jump into our sugya of knives. Let's jump into our sugya of devarim charifim. And let's see where it takes us. So once again, we have a Gemara here. Dagim sha'olu b'ka'ara, parav. Tzunon shechasach b'sakin, fleishik. Right? Dagim sha'olu b'ka'ara, there may be. Even if you had the hot fish in the fleishik pan, don't worry, it's still parav. You could take it out of the pan and sprinkle it with cheese. Right? So again, machlokas rivan. Versus Rebbeinu Tam and Tosas. How about if it was cooked in the pan? Okay, yes, no. But certainly, Ashkenazim are somewhat machmer for the Rivan. Sfaradim are not machmer for the Rivan at all. But again, dairy equipment, if it was marsh cooked in the dairy equipment, so then Ashkenazim treat it as mildly dairy. They would just put hot into the dairy equipment. Even Ashkenazim agree it's absolutely parav. And yet, when you have the sharp radish that was cut with the fleishik knife, or a sharp radish that was cut with the milchik knife, all of a sudden that does pick up the fleishiks or the milchiks. So what is going on? So we saw yesterday, Rashi presented two ways of thinking about this. In halacha lemasa, we accept Rashi's second opinion. That was clear in Shulchan Aruch. Both Ashkenazim and Sfaradim accept Rashi's second opinion that what? That the Gemara is teaching me at least two chidushim. Number one, the Gemara is telling me that there could be any bliya, any transfer of flavor of tam without heat. Right? It's a new type, a fourth method of tam transfer. In addition to heat, in addition to maliach, in addition to kavush, chidush number one of our Gemara is that davar charif can create tam transfer. As the Taz was medayik from Rashi on Kuf Yud Beis, and as the Shulchan Aruch quoted in the Sif Gimel from Rabbeinu Baruch, you need to have two ingredients to do the fourth method of Tam transfer as a composite of Davar Charv plus Duchka de Sakina. Applying pressure, Duchka de Sakina, applying the pressure of the knife or the pressure of the fork or the pressure of the grinder to a sharp food, the combination of those two ingredients makes for Tam transfer. Davar Charv plus Duchah de Sakina, without any heat, without any salt, without any soaking. That alone, Davar Charif plus Duchah de Sakina, creates tam transfer. So that's chiddush number one. The fact that the flavor jumps from the fleishika knife to the radish is testament to this new fourth method of tam transfer. That was the first major chiddush that we discussed yesterday that emerges from our sugya, a new method of tam transfer. And the other major chiddush that we discussed yesterday was this Rashi. The other point in the Rashi, Rashi says, how come it becomes fleishik, but it's only a not bar not? And Rashi said, first Rashi said, well, maybe the knife is greasy, but we paskin, even if the knife is totally clean, again, not like in the olden days, when it was much harder to clean the knives because they didn't have modern detergent and running hot water and sponges, and cleaning knives was a, if you want to keep your fingers safe and your knife clean, as a complicated balancing act. Nah, nowadays it's easy to have sparkly clean knives, squeaky clean knives. So what's taka the pshat? So Rashi says, the second sheet in Rashi says, even if the knife is clean, this is the second magic of Davar Charif. Not only does Davar Charif create tam transfer, it even ramps it up. It amps it up more than heat would. The sharpness of the radish actually makes the flavor that's coming in, the fleishik flavor coming in stronger than it's coming through heat, but without davar charif. Right? Let me say that again. Davar charif amps up the flavor coming in. So if the flavor is coming into fish, or if the flavor is coming into pasta, or the flavor is coming into broccoli, so then we say, look, it's only a not bar not. For Svardim, it's totally parav. For Ashkenazim, it's mildly milchik, mildly fleshy. Right? Like we said, lechatchila, we wouldn't mix it with cheese. But if the flavor is landing in a davar charif, even though it's only a not bar, it's a tam sheni, it explodes. The davar charif amps up the flavor, and that becomes a fully fleshik or fully milchik flavor. So if I'm slicing a knife with a fleshik, a slice in an onion with a fleishik knife, or I'm frying onions in a fleishik pan, even though the knife or the pan is a clean kli, the flavor coming into onion is only not bar not, only tam sheni, but still, because it's landed in davar charif, it blooms into a full flavor, and that onion is considered to be really fleishik. If you mix in cheese, you're going to have to throw it out. You wouldn't eat it in a milchik kelim. You don't have to wait after it because there's no pieces of fleishiks, but it has a full status of stuff that was otherwise is a full, except for waiting, it's a full status of it's ki'ilu, it was cooked with a piece of meat. It's ki'ilu, it's a potato from the chalent that you washed off, so there's no surface residue, but it's absorbed the flavor. It's like the chalent egg. Ki'ilu, it's a tam rishon. That's the second chiddush of davar charif. The first chiddush of davar charif is that it can create tam transfer at all, in working in concert with pressure, with duchat zakina. The second chiddush of davar charif is that when a not by not lands in davar charif, it blooms into a full flavor. It's fully fleishik, fully milch. And that's why someone at home has no doubt remind you at some point, make sure if you want to use that onion with milchik, make sure not to cut it with a fleishik knife. If you're using half of that onion for fleishiks, you plan to use the other half to put it back in the fridge for eggs and cheese tomorrow, make sure you cut the onion with the power of a knife. If you cut it with a fleishik knife, it will become fleishik. That's not true by most things, but by dvarim charifim, it is. By davar charif, it will become fully fleishik, fully milch. Okay. Now let's take a look. That was yesterday. Questions about that before we go on? Any questions about that before we go on? Ad kan chazar. Let's take a look at one more chumrah, one more piece of the magic of davar charif, and it's actually a tosus. It starts with a tosus right here. We had been looking yesterday at parts of the very long tosus, hilchasa, the wraps from kuf yud to kuf yud beis. Now let's take a look at the next small. Now let's take a look at the next small tosus. The little tosus agav. You see that? We're going to take a look at the end of tosus, and then after we'll take a look at the beginning of tosus. The teeny tosus. Agav chorfe bal again. Kuf yud beis amal alf. Kuf yud beis amal alf. Shtetin tosus azoy. Tosus raises a question. The third to last line. See, the end says, Vitzarech Ian. We're used to seeing Vitzarech Ian in Rebekiv Eger. Tosus uses Vitzarech Ian differently than Rebekiv Eger or Chaim or other Achronim use it. The Achronim, when they use Vitzarech Ian, Vav Tzad Yayin, it's used as verbal punctuation. I think we've discussed this in the past. Before punctuation, there was verbal punctuation. There were words that meant open quotes and close quotes. Vezel Loshono is the beginning of a quote. Adkan Loshono is the end of a quote. And there's verbal punctuation for a question mark. The verbal punctuation for a question mark is Vav Tzadi Ayin. Vitzarechim, right? That's why Rabbi Kiva Egel sometimes ends a kasha, or Rabbi Chaim will end a kasha. Vitzarechim, I mean, this is a problem. This is shver. Vitzarech, that's how they show you they're at the end of a kasha. And that's something that they tell you, this is a really strong kasha. Vitzarechim, this requires Ian. We gotta look into this. This is really a troubling kasha. Tosus, though, here, Tosus does not use the phrase so much, but they use it here, two important differences. Number one, they use it at the beginning of the question, and number two, it's marking a shaila, not a kasha. Right? We all know the difference between those two. A kasha is when I have a problem. A shaila is when I'm seeking information. The Tosus, if it's sarachian, it doesn't mean he has a kasha. If it's sarachian, Tosus says, at the end again, Kufi Bezam and Aleph, the end of Dibra Maschel, Agav Churfe. Tosa says, Vitzarech Ian im Hasakin Mekunach, if the knife is wiped clean. Okay, so there's no mamashas on the surface. There's no grease on the surface. There's only question of the blia. Okay, but Rashi already told us, the second sheet in Rashi, and that's why we paskin, that the blia can come out, and even though that would be an Eina Ben Yoma, where it lands in the onion, where it lands in the radish, but since the radish is sharp, so it'll enhance and highlight that Tom Kolish, as Iran had put it, the weak flavor of the not by not, it'll bloom into a full flavor. Ah, but Tosis wants to know, how about the Ein Ben Yomo? If Hasakin Mekunach the Ein Ben Yomo, it's clean, so there's no residue, there's no Be'en, Be'ez Ein Yod Nun, there's no substance on the surface. Ah, there's flavor that's absorbed into it. The Tam HaBalua in the knife, yes, but let's say it's an Eino Ben Yomo. I haven't used this knife for fleishiks in the last 24 hours. I have a fleishik knife in the drawer. Yeah, but the last time I used it for fleishik was Shabbos, Friday. And now it's Thursday morning. We're already heading into Yom Yerushalayim here. And the last time I used this fleishik knife was on Lag BaOmer. Or 2 days ago. Whatever it is. Ein Ben Yomo. We've come across this before, right? We've said in the past, Gemara and Avodah Zarah tells us, the rule is, and Gemara is elsewhere as well, the rule is that once flavor gets absorbed into a kli, the clock starts ticking. And if the flavor stays in the kli for more than 24 hours, if it's an Eino Ben Yomo, it's no longer the same day as when the flavor came in, it's been more than 24 hours since the flavor got absorbed into a kli, that flavor gets ruined. That flavor gets nifkan. As we've seen in the past, the kli might the kli might remain fleishiks. You're not allowed to use it with milchik, but that flavor that's Eino Ben Yomo doesn't impact anything else. So, for instance, I have a soup spoon that I use for hot chicken soup. Let's say. I have the ladle that I used in the pot of hot chicken soup. So if I put it into some hot milchik soup within 24 hours, it'll make a treif. But if I put into hot milchik soup only 24 hours, more than 24 hours afterwards in the hot fleishik, say, look, the ladle is still fleishik. I'm not allowed to use it in milchik. It's an isser drabana. It's an isser maisa, an isser pu'ula. It's an Isser Heshtamshus. You're not allowed, it's a forbidden act to use it with milchiks. But within 24 hours, if I stick it into hot milchiks, it might even make the milchiks treif. Because the fleishik flavor will leach out in the hot milchik soup and impact the milchik soup and potentially make it treif. Beyond 24 hours, the ladle itself remains fleishik, but it can't impact anything else. A blia that's more than 24 hours old cannot impact anything else. It's no longer a live and active blia. So you're not allowed to use an old fleishik ladle in milchik soup, if you did, the milchik soup will remain kosher. It was wrong to use the ladle. You have to kasher the ladle because it just absorbed from the milchik soup. But the milchik soup remains kosher. Again, as I was saying in the past, it's important to clarify and review. Normally, a belia, an absorbed flavor, which is a flavor gets absorbed into a kli. If it's an eno ben yomo, if that flavor is more than 24 hours old, it cannot impact anything else. We're not worried about it getting into something else and impacting it. As we've said in the past, with Zon Shulchan Aruch, that's often, just from personal experience, that is the greatest save. The most common save. When someone calls it the Basar B'chal of Shaila, the most common save is, it turns out that the offending kli is an Eino Ben Yomo. So it was wrong to have used that fork to make those eggs, but l'maisa, the eggs are still kosher because the fork was an Eino Ben Yomo. Very, very common. Tosa says, maybe there's an exception to that rule also. Just like Davar Charf is an exception to the rule of not bar not, even though the flavor is weak, it's only a not bar not, but if it's going into onions, going into the sharp radish, all of a sudden it gets a boost. The Tosas wants to know, how about Eino Ben Yomo? How about if I have a flavor that's more than 24 hours old, it can't impact anything else? Okay, this pan is fleishig, you're not supposed to use it for cheese, it's also to use it for cheese, but if you did, the pan hasn't been used for fleishig in 24 hours, it's also to use it for cheese, but the cheese will remain kosher if you did. There's an iser lechatchila, you're not allowed to use it with cheese, but there's no iser b'diavad. It won't create a new status in the cheese. But how about if we're talking about onions? How about we talk about onions? So Tosa says, v'tzarech iyan amasakim mekunach ve'ein ben yomo. Let's say the knife is clean, so there's no grease on the outside, and it's not a ben yomo. Ichurfa didhu machli al shvach. With the sharp flavor, we said normally the flavor sitting in the pan, in the spoon, in the fork for 24 hours, it gets a metallic taste. So that fleishik flavor in the kli is no longer anything positive. It's lifgam, it's ruined. It's a negative taste. But maybe churfa didhu machia l'shvach. Maybe the sharpness of the food will enhance and make that old flavor positive. It'll make it l'shvach. It'll make it a positive flavor. Where did Tosas get this idea from? Stam? Davar Charf is the exception to everything. Davar Charf is a superpower. Davar Charf is a superhero. The Tosas says, no. We have a Gemara. Kid Amar Gabi Chiltis, Perek Ein Ma'amidim. Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Gemara near the end of the second parak of Avodah Zarah, talks about not buying Chiltis, a sharp, diced vegetable from Nachrim, even though it looks clean and I can even wash off the surface, but we're worried that they cut it with their tray for knives. And the Gemara says, even if the knife was an Eino Ben Yomo, it had not been used for bacon or anything else in the last 24 hours, but churfa didhu machia l'shvach, as Tosas quotes. The sharpness of the chiltis makes it something positive. So Tosas says, wow, that Gemara sounds like Davar Charif is the third magic of Davar Charif. Davar Charif is a way of creating tam transfer together with Ducha de Sakina. Davar Charif overcomes the weakness of a not bar not. And now apparently also Davar Charif overcomes the get out of jail free card that we usually call Eino Ben Yomo. Eino Ben Yomo won't make anything else, won't impact anything else unless that something else is a Davar Charif. Let's take a look and see how this plays, but Tosas isn't sure about it. So let's see how this plays out in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, let's bring up Shulchan Aruch here. Let's take a look right here. We had started looking at Sif Aleph yesterday. We had to skip around a little bit. And now we're able to see more, because now we're seeing more of the sugya. Tzino and Sadi Vav. Shulchan Aruch, Sadi Vav, Sif Aleph. Tzino no silk, I have a sharp vegetable, I have the radish. Chatacham b'sakin shel basar ben yomo. If I sliced it with a ben yomo fleishig knife, osha in mekunach, or it's not clean, still greasy, so then also acham b'chalav. You cannot eat that radish with milchik because the knife made the radish fleishig. How far did it make it? So as I mentioned yesterday, three shittos from Yishonim, how far does the flavor travel. When you have Davar Charav plus Duchid de Sakina, so Shulchan Aruch takes the middle approach. Achiital Makam Achetech, Kedei Netilas Makam. You have to take away a chunk of the first layer, Shuka Ovi Etzba, the thickness of your thumb that's around an inch. That's the middle position. The amount it travels not through the whole thing, but also not just the first thin layer, Kedei Klipa, not just a peel, but Kedei Netilah. An inch. Okay, as he says, some Rishon are more machmer, some Rishon are more mekel. Shulchan Aruch takes the middle position. He says, Oshi yitamenu, or taste it. Okay, Shulchan Aruch will rely on a toin. V'lo yeh bo tam basa. If you taste it, it's not flay, it doesn't taste flay. Shulchan Aruch mutter b'hadach. Okay, he said Ashkenazim b'pashas do not accept that. But now here he comes back to our issue. Before he only said ben yomo. V'yeh shomrim dehu adin le'eno ben yomo v'hu makunach. But others say, Shulchan Aruch says, that even though it's clean, even if it's in Eino Ben Yomo, it still makes trouble. Usually an Eino Ben Yomo flavor cannot make trouble for anything else. But here, maybe. So Shulchan Aruch presents it as Stam and Yesh Omrim. So how do we paskin? If you take a look at the Shach, see that little letter Vav in the Shulchan Aruch? The letter Vav without any equipment. Without any parentheses, without any brackets. So just the plain letter Vav, but a big one like that, is a symbol of the Shach. It takes it down here, Siv Se Kohen, here right below Shulchan Aruch. Siv Vav was a Shach. Say, Hu Adin Le'ena Ben Yom Hu Mekunach. So Tosas is presenting both opinions from, Shulchan Aruch presenting both opinions from Tosas. He says, why should that be? Hatam, Dechur Fei Ditzon Machiele Umash V'Lei L'Shevach. The reason, and yes, that is a pun for those of you who appreciate puns. Hatam. The reason that there's flavor and the reason that the flavor matters is because, as Tosas quoted, the sharpness of the radish enhances the Eino Ben Yomo, the old fleishik flavor, and it turns it into something positive. Mashvle l'shvach. That's what Tosas had quoted. And where did Tosas get it from? That's right. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Tosa quoted the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Kimo Koret Shel Chiltzis. Lekaman Simen Kuf Yudalad. Simen Kuf Yudalad, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this idea of the little pieces of the sharp vegetable, the sharp Chiltzis. Kuf Yudalad is the Simen. We've been seeing Basar B'Challav, which goes until Tzadi Zayin, and then Taruvus picks up after that, goes till Kuf Yudalad. After that comes Kuf Yud Beis, Kuf Yud Gimel. Those are about Pasakum and Bishalakum. Then Kuf Yud Dalet is about buying foods, different ingredients from non-Jews. Which foods require Hashkacha and which ones don't. Some of the details have changed because of changes in food technology. But that's where in Kuf Yud Dalet, they quote, you cannot buy these diced sharp vegetables, the Koret Shel Chiltzis, from the Nachri. Why? Even if you think his knives are old, but it's... The sharpness is machli l'shvach. So that's the second opinion in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, but how do we paskin? Says the Shach, v'chein das kol achronim. And that's the approach of all the later poskim. Again, the Shach lived in the 1600s, not so long after Shulchan Aruch, who lived in the 1500s, but he's saying during the last century or two, before and after Shulchan Aruch, widely accepted like the second day in Shulchan Aruch, widely accepted that yes, davar charif has three pieces of magic. Not only they create, it's a method of time transfer, and that it overcomes not bar not, it also overcomes Eino Ben Yomo. It's the exception to the rule of Eino Ben Yomo. V'chein Noagim. V'chein Noagim. And that is the practice. Ein Chilak Ben Ben Yomo Eino Ben Yomo. Once you're dealing with the flavor going into onions, the flavor going into radishes, it doesn't matter where the usual distinction of Ben Yomo versus Ein Ben Yomo goes out the window. Okay. So there we have it. Shulchan Aruch, the Tosas had a suffix, and the Shulchan Aruch quoted both opinions, and the Shach said, "Here's how we paskin." Now, before we go too far, while some of you may have been before you even got into Halacha Lamaisa, I think some of you might have had a kasha in just thinking about Tosas. Like Tosas, they're not sure. After all, it's a Gemara. You're not sure. After all, it's a Gemara. You're not sure. After all, it's a Gemara. If it's a Gemara, then what's there not to be sure about? Moshe, was that your question? So you have a hand up. Sure, absolutely. So let's review again. Now, why? So the Gemara of Avodah Zarah in that part of the second parak is talking about which foods are you allowed to buy from a non-Jew and you don't have any kashrus concerns, versus which foods can you not buy from the non-Jew because of kashrus concerns. Right? So either you cannot buy bread from a non-Jew because it's pasakim, and that appears in Shulchan Aruch as kufiyud beis. And then the Mishnayos and Gemara in the second parak of Avodah Zarah say you cannot buy certain types of cooked foods from a non-Jew if they qualify as bishalakim. That's Simon Kufyud Gimel in Yaradeya. And then they talk about other foods, even if they're not technically part of the gezeira of pasakim or bishalakim, but practically speaking, there's a concern of non-kosher ingredients or non-kosher equipment. And again, the details obviously have changed from then to now because food is made differently nowadays. But we also have similar categories, right? You're allowed to get, for instance, extra virgin olive oil, bismana, that does not require hashgacha. Or pure unflavored coffee, but can buy unflavored coffee, does not require hashgacha, because the way coffee is made, assuming it's unflavored, there are no kashrus concerns. It's made in dedicated equipment. I'm sorry? Is that true? Plain pasta doesn't require... Okay. Interesting. Okay. So there is a list of bismanas of particular foods that don't require hashgacha versus those that are kashra sensitive, that do have kashra sensitive ingredients or kashra sensitive equipment and procedures, and you need a hashgacha in order to know. You can't just assume that it's kosher. So Chazal already have such a list in Avodah Zarah, and that's the topic of Yoredeya Simon Kuf Yudalad. And one of the items on the list of things that are kashra sensitive and do require hashgacha, you cannot just assume that it's okay. One of those items is koret shel chiltis, diced, small chopped up pieces of chiltis, a particular sharp vegetable. Why? So the Gemara explains, you know why the koret shel chiltis is potentially treif? You know why you cannot buy koret shel chiltis from a non-Jewish vegetable market? What's the concern? Okay, so he took the vegetable and he sliced it. So maybe if you're worried that the knife wasn't clean, so we'll rub off the surface. But why can't I eat the rest of the vegetable? So the Gemara explains, no, it's a sharp food, davar charif, and even in a case where you think that he doesn't produce that much and that knife hasn't been used for anything treif in a long time, the knife is an ene ben yomo, it hasn't, the last time it was used for bacon was 3 days ago, 3 months ago. The Gemara says, if it was my knife, I wouldn't allow it to use it. It'd be Isra Maisa. I wouldn't allow it to use it without kashering. But the Nachri used it. So it's just a question of eating the food. So Eina Ben Yomo flavor doesn't impact the food. So the Gemara says, what's going on? So the Gemara then Avodah Zarah says, no. But since the Korat Shel Chiltis is sharp, and that's here, that Gemara was quoted here in Tosus. Churfa didhu machila l'shevach. The sharpness of the chiltis will transform that old, retired Eino Ben Yomo flavor, and it'll make it something positive. Normally, the old Eino Ben Yomo flavor gets into eggs or salami or broccoli or cheese, whatever it is. If the flavor has been seen in the kli for more than 24 hours, it's not going to impact any other food. But the Gemara says, but the koret shel chiltis is impacted. Why? Because the koret shel chiltis is sharp, and it's machli al shvach. It will transform it, it'll enhance it, it'll make it something good. It'll spice it up, it'll jazz it up. That's the Gemara. So Tosa said, hey, so we're not sure where the din should be. So Shulchan Aruch presents two opinions. So luckily, you might say, the Shach says we paskin l'chumra. Luckily, in part because we're actually curious, why would you not be machmer? How could there be a suffix in Tosas? What do you mean? The Gemara said it. They quoted a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. They're not sure if they should paskin like the Gemara or not. Is there some contradictory Gemara? So the Vilna Gaon And Vilna Gaon's job in the page of Shulchan Aruch was, as we've seen in the past, to give you the sources. Shulchan Aruch says dinim, the Vilna Gaon gives you footnotes. He says, this comes from here, this comes from there. So if we're looking at the here, see that little letter hey. So if you look at the Vilna Gaon, here, V'yesh Omrim. K'mokor shel chiltus, the second shita, the machmer shita in Shulchan Aruch, says it's the same as the pieces of the chiltus. And Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Tes, and all. Svar Rishonah, in the next line, what was the first shita? They all delo dami l'kor shel chiltus. He's using your live Rosh HaTevis here. Svar Rishonah, Svar Alei, delo lama daud, lo dami l'kor shen ches shel chiltus, decharef ma'od. It's very sharp. Maybe chiltus is super charif. Maybe it's idea of ein b'yom only as if it's super charif. I don't know. So what else do we have that's similar to chiltus? Maybe if you have what do they call them? Not white scotch peppers. There's certain peppers for those who are into their hot peppers. There are rankings of different types of hot peppers depending on how much capsaicin it has. There's like Death Valley peppers, I think they're called, and Scotch something, white Scotch peppers. Do we have any hot pepper experts here? I guess not. Some of them are just, you know. Okay, Asher is doing his research here. Trinidad and Scorpion peppers. Okay. Okay, yes, thank you. Carolina Reapers, right. They are really, be careful. Make sure you have the fire department already on site. Don't just have 911 on speed dial. You got to make sure you have the fire department on site. By the way, you just picked up a bottle of water. You should just know, as an aside, next time you try some schug, I think water is probably the last thing you want to try. People often go for the water. So it helps sort of because it washes away some of the be'en from your tongue. But it actually can oxidize and react with the dvarim, with the hot peppers on your tongue. You're usually milk. Yeah, milk. Assuming you're not having fleishiks, right? What did you say? Right. Yeah. I don't know if soy milk works as well. Yeah. Because bread also will wipe it away without reacting within the way that water does. Right, exactly. Right, that's sugi and kalabasa. So coming back, so the reason why the Carolina Reapers are relevant, the Vilna Gaon says, the Makel position, they held that maybe it's only chiltus where this happens, or maybe also Carolina Reapers, but not your garden variety typical dvarim charifim like tzanon. Where'd they get this from, by the way? So the Vilna Gaon says the reason why you make that distinction is because delahachi back in the Gra lo time b'masisa shem elakor shel chiltus. The Mishnah in Avodah Zarah that lists the kosher sensitive foods, it didn't say sharp foods in general. It's mentioned specifically chiltus. Why did it have to single out the chiltus? It wasn't only davar charif that was for sale in Eretz Yisrael during the days of the Tanaim. They had sinon, obviously. The Vilna Gaon says, so the first sheet of the Makel position Tosus would say, maybe it's specifically chiltus. The Macher position says, no, chiltus is just an example of davar charif. So now we look back at our Tosus, and we understand Tosus is suffix. They weren't saying to be possible like the Gemara or not. They were saying, we know the Gemara says that by chiltus, it's machli al shvach. The sharpness will enhance what would otherwise be a boring, old, tired, ene benyomo flavor. And it makes it something tasty and therefore kasherus relevant. So, of course, the Gemara says by chiltus. The question was, is chiltus special or is chiltus just an example of dvarim charifim? And although I enjoyed that discussion of Carolina Reapers and Scotch, I forget what they're called, Scotch peppers as much as anyone else, But it is relevant if you want to indulge in hot peppers, but it's not relevant lahalacha here in Siman Sarivav, because again, the Gra was explaining the first shita, but we don't paskin like that first shita. Right? We paskin like the machmir shita, that any davar charif has this magical power of being an exception to Eino Ben Yomo. So let's recap where we've been. We've so far discussed three or four issues in the world of davar charif, and we'll wrap up davar charif with one final question, which is perhaps the most applicable of all. So far, where have we been? We saw three unique chidushim of davar charif. A chidush, as Rabbi Shechter reminds us, based on Tosin Yivamas, a chidush means a davar, not just something I didn't know before, but a davar hasoser es haklal. A chidush, technically speaking, in language of Gemara, means that this is an exception to the usual rule. So davar charif is exceptional in three ways. Now that we already have a basis for thinking about, a framework for thinking about the halachas of Tam Ke'ikar, halachas of Basar B'chalav, so now we notice that Davar Charif stands out, is a rule breaker, it's an outlier in three ways. Number one, number two, and then we added number three today. Number one, it's a new method of Tam transfer. Normally, Tam transfer only happens when you have heat, but there are some cold methods of Tam transfer as well. We spend time in Maliach Kroseach, we spoke about Kavush Kimavushal, and here we have Davar Charif. And again, one detail in that first chiddush was the fact that davar charif being a method of tam transfer was the fact that it has to be in conjunction with duchud de sakina. Only time there's a transfer flavor is when it's sharp plus pressure. And the second detail in terms of it being a method of tam transfer is we discussed, the Shulchan Aruch has some discussion, how far does the flavor spread? Okay, we touched on that lightly. No pun intended. That was the first chiddush of davar charif. The first chiddush of davar charif was that it can create tam transfer in conjunction with duchud sakina. The second chiddush of davar charif, whether the flavor is being transferred via duchud sakina or just because it's hot, the second chiddush of davar charif is that not bar not, there's no kula of not bar not. If you're making a sharp food in dairy equipment, it becomes fully milchik. And if you mix that food subsequently with meat, it goes in the garbage. The third chiddush of davar charif we just saw is the halacha l'maisa v'paskin. It's an exception to rule of Eino Ben Yomo. Normally, an Eino Ben Yomo kli, you're not allowed to use it until you kasher it. But if you do use it, it won't impact any other food, but unless that other food is davar charif. If you have an Eino Ben Yomo knife and you're slicing an onion with an Eino Ben Yomo knife, or geschmack. Wow. After that delightful intermission, Baruch Hashem. So we said that we have the three chidushim of davar charif. It's a yotzei min haklal in terms of it being a bulia b'tzonein, a method of tam transfer in conjunction with duchat sakina. Number two, it's an exception to not bar not. That's how we paskin, like the second day in Rashi. And shach paskins, like the second day in Shulchan Aruch, one of the days in Tosfos, that's also an exception to Eino Ben Yomo. Okay. So what's the last question? The last question in the world of davar charif, and after that, we'll take a little break, and then we'll come back to put together all of the Kol HaBasar sugyas on one page. But before that, we'll take a little break. So before that little break, let's take a look at the last question in the world of Davar Charif. The last question in the world of Davar Charif is that it comes from the beginning of Tosus. It comes from the beginning of Tosus. And this question, this Tosus is why I've been giving so many examples. Agav Chorfei Bala, the first from the top of Tosfos, Yesh li zoher shlo lachtoch shumen kreishen uvitzalim besakin choleves. You gotta make sure not to chop up all the sharp vegetables in your kitchen. The garlic, the onions. Shum is garlic, batzal is onion. I'm not sure what Tosfos had in mind when they said kreishen. I don't know if they meant scallions, or they meant leek. Leek is usually not very sharp. Maybe they meant scallions. But don't chop up all those sharp vegetables in your kitchen. Besakin cholevis with a milchik knife. Mishum de charifi tuva. Because they're very sharp. They're very sharp. Now, you look at that tosis, and as an aspiring lamdan, you should ask yourself which question. The Gemara said, Agav Chorfei Bala, right? That's the Dir Maslow Tosis. That was the explanation of Tsunon Shechasaka Besakin is it becomes fleshy, you can't eat it with milchiks. Tosis says, oh, you got to be careful not to chop up all your garlic and onion with the milchik knife. Mishum de charifi tuva, because they're very charif. What's Shver and Tosis? Deets, what do you say? Okay, good. Right? So number one, Nisal makes an important point. There's no avera in making your onions milchik or fleshik. Just you have to make sure to keep them what they are. Right? So Tosa sort of left out a line. What they meant to say is if you're planning to use the garlic or the onion with fleshik, make sure not to use it with, cut it with a milchik knife. Correct. 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 And what's shver about that? What's shver about the fact that Tosis is saying this? How so? What's the question? What's the answer? And that's exactly the point. What's the question? What's the answer? What's Tosis trying to say at all? Do I need Tosis to repeat the Gemara? What was Tosis Mechadish? The Gemara said, Tznon Shachatocha Besakin, it becomes fleshik. Can't eat it with milchiks. The Tosis says, so you better be careful not to cut your onions and garlic with a milchik knife, as Dietz said, and because then you can't have it with a fleshik. So where's the Chiddush? Well, the Chiddush is, what's Tosis adding to the Gemara? They're just chazrin over the Gemara. No? What'd they add? So later on in Tosis, they have other Chiddushim. The middle of Tosis talks about how Bittel works, and then the end of Tosis we saw raises the question, how about if a knife is eating? Ben Yomo, okay, so those are Chiddushim. The Tosis is adding to what's going on in the Gemara. But the first line Tosis, how is what they're saying any different from what the Gemara said? At all. See, even on the simplest level, what are the changes from the case that Tosis gave, from the case of the Gemara to the case of Tosis? What would you say? Sure. The Gemara had a din. And then Tosis says a din. As though they're adding something. But it seems like Tosis is just reviewing what the Gemara said, which is not his job. Tosis makes a comment. Tosis makes a comment to add something. To ask a kasha, to give a chiddush, to tell me a new din, a new application. But this sounds like the Gemara said, if you cut the tzno with a fleshik knife, So you're not allowed to eat with milchiks. The Tosa says, oh, therefore, don't cut your onions with a milchik knife if you plan to use it with a fleshik. What do Tosa's add? They're just chazing over the Gemara. Yeah, what do you say, Moshe? Is that a hand? Take a stab at it. Ah, good. Very good. So if you're looking carefully, of course, absolutely. I didn't see Eitan, so I risked intending upon. Anything to bring a smile to DJ's face and Dovi's face. All the punsters, the back left corner of the sheer room. So Moshe points out that yes, so one difference is the Gemara is talking about fleshik knife, and Tosfos is talking about milchik knife. Is that the chiddush? Maybe. Hard to imagine, because so far there's been total symmetry to milchiks and fleshiks. So never so far have we ever entertained the havamina that milchik flavor and fleshik flavor are different in the way that they travel. In your mouth, in terms of weighting, there's a difference. But you're right. You're reading carefully and say, well, that's a difference. But it's hard to imagine that's what Tosfos had in mind. What's the other difference? And maybe it will help to look in the Shulchan Aruch. Take a look at the language of Sif Beis in the Shulchan Aruch. Im chatach bo shumin u betzalim ukreishin. Here, Tzadi Vav Sif Beis. If you were chopping, remember Sif Aleph we saw before, that was a tznon of the silka. Now the Shulchan Aruch says, im chatach bo shumin u betzalim ukreishin. V'tamcha shakorin krein. Ah, okay. Shulchan Aruch begins by quoting Tosas. You're chopping the garlic or the onions or the creation, again, maybe Tosas may mean scallion. The tamch shakor and crane. Here the Ramah adds, or tamcha, that's horseradish. The chayotze behem edvarim charifim, and other such sharp foods. Uperos chamutzim, or very acidic fruit. Or dugim meluchim, or very salty fish. Dinam shavel achatach bosakin. That din is the same as chopping. It's the same as slicing the radish. Do you notice anything? Ooh, Givaldic. Excellent. Take a look at the beer. Very good. Take a look at the beer agra. Beer agra quotes what the Rishon already quotes. Very good. See Yud, as we've seen in the past, the Yud in brackets is the beer agra. The square brackets, that's the very beginning of the sif, opens with that Yud in brackets. You go down to beer agra, and Yud in brackets. Im chatach. What's the source? Tosa sham dir masal agav. Okay, that's our tosis. So far, no chidushim. I mean, if you start from the page of Shulchan Aruch, so that beer agra is helpful. We start from the Gemara, we're going in order, so we know that it comes from tosis. But then in the Likut, the Likud from a different notebook of the Vilna Gaon on Shulchan Aruch, he says, "Aval smakasav b'shem ri de'ein l'chel mashakas masha amru chachamim v'chein kasu kama poskim." The smak says, "No, it's only what the chachamim said." Meaning, as Moshe said, only tznon. The Gemara said tznon. So Tosis is chiddush. There were two differences in Tosis' case from the Gemara's case. One that's not as exciting is whether it's a fleshik knife making a fleshik or a milchik knife making a milchik. So you notice that was very sensitive. And the other difference was what is it that's being cut? The Gemara's case was tznon. Tosis is chiddush is a Shuman creation in Betzalim. How about the garlic and the onions? So that's Tosas Chiddush, and as the Grub points out, you look back in the Beis Tosef, if you'll see it documented, some Rishonim said it's only the vegetable that the Gemara raised. So, and as I said before when we got started, this is in a sense the most universal, most applicable question in the world of Davar Charif is what is called a Davar Charif? There is a Shita in the Chachmei Ashkenaz that the Smak, Sefer Mitzvahs Katzar, it's a Mrs. Katan, excuse me. It's one of the, we've seen him in the past. He's one of the Bali Atosis. He wrote a Sefer Halacha called the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan. So the smak is of the opinion that it's only tzanon and chiltis, the vegetables that Chazal mentioned. Those, it's an exhaustive list. Okay, so then cutting onions and fork spearing pickles and grating horseradish, irrelevant. Disconnected from Siman Sarivav. That's the opinion of the smak. If we accepted the smak, this whole Siman Sarivav Darachariv discussion would, practically speaking, fade into irrelevancy because I don't think many of us eat Sanon or Chiltis. So if you were to be maker like the smak, this whole simon is not relevant to our lives. But we do not pass like the smak. We pass like Tosus. As a matter of fact, the Shulchan Aruch didn't even present two opinions. Right? We saw, let's say, in the Ben Yomo, any Ben Yomo issue, Shulchan Aruch presented both opinions, Yesh Omrim, and the Shach said, here's how we paskin. But here, Shulchan Aruch doesn't even present the other opinions. Shulchan Aruch follows Tosus lock, stock, and barrel. Tosus only said, yes, onions, garlic are included, and Shulchan Aruch also says, yes, onions, garlic are included. The Vilna Gaon says, well, you know, other achronim were mekel. But halacha l'maisa, Shulchan Aruch is absolutely machmer, and that is the widely accepted opinion. Again, if it's a specific shayla, you should ask a shayla, and sometimes if there are enough other snifim lahakal, sometimes if there are enough other angles to possibly make, some poskim will throw in, oh, and anyways, it's not snum. But b'derech klal, we assume that the onions and garlic and pickles and are the same as the tzanon, all kedarim harifim, and horseradish. I still have memories of my grandmother, Leah Shalom, before part of the Erev Pesach preparation, that she would sit there with the ribeisen, the metal standing rectangular grater, and she would have the horseradish root, and she would be grating the horseradish and crying. My, that stuff makes you tear. So that's, as Shulchan Aruch says, crane. That's called Davar Harv. Let me show you, by the way, one more example. Let's move on to the next page in Siman Sarivav. Here's a word you might recognize, even if you did not go to Ulpan. Take a look at Siv Dalid. What's that? May, the juice of. What's that word? Lama Yud Mem. Vav Nun Yud. That's a sin, by the way, not a shin. Not limunish. Pronounce it as a sin. What does that say? Lemons, exactly. Lemons are considered to be Dvarim Harifim. You got it. Lemons. So Shulchan Aruch and Siv Dalid discusses, but maybe if they're processing enough lemons at a time, I'm not worried about any flavor from the treifa knives. But fundamentally, lemons are considered to be a Davar Harif. So if you slice a lemon with a fleshik knife, the lemon is fleshik. Again, there too, Siv Dalid reflects the same sheet of Tosus that Shulchan Aruch is quoting here in Siv Beis, that we accept the approach of Tosus that you don't have to be on Chazal's official list. There's no official list of Dvarim Harifim. Chazal gave a couple of examples. Just like Dagim Sha'olu B'Ka'ar, it doesn't have to be fish, it could also be broccoli. So a tzanon doesn't have to be tzanon. It could be any davar charif. It could be shuman, it could be betzalim. It could be garlic, it could be onions, it could be chrein, the horseradish. It could be lemons, otherwise known as lemons. And it could be any, it could be pickles, peiros chamutzim. It could be pickles. Peiros chamutzim is a reference to pickled fruit or to acidic fruit. Either it means pickles, pickled cucumbers, pickled tomatoes, or it means things like lemons. There is, however, one limitation you should be aware of in the discussion of what constitutes a davar harif. Let's close this out. Yes, on the one hand, we're machmer like Tosus against the smak, that Chazal's examples were just that, just examples. They're not an exhaustive list. So even though Chazal never mentioned garlic or onion or lemons or pickles or horseradish as being dvarim harifim, we paskin Shulchan Aruch and Siv Beis and Siv Dalid paskins like Tosus against the smak that those are dvarim harifim. However, one thing you should know. Let's take a look. Let's turn back to look at the Bar Hetev. the Bar Hetev is on the bottom of Shulchan Aruch. You probably met the Bar Hetev earlier than you met any other Mefarish on Shulchan Aruch, because before you ever looked in a big Shulchan Aruch, you were learning Mishneh Berurah early, in earlier years in Yeshiva. And when the Chafetz Chaim wrote his Perush Mishneh Berurah on Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim, he reprinted the Shulchan Aruch on top, his Perushim on the bottom, Mishneh Berurah, Bir Halacha, and Shar HaTzion. And he brought over three other Mefarshim from the big Shulchan Aruch to his Shulchan Aruch Mishneh Berurah. One of those three is the Be'er HaGola, who we've looked at the top outside corner, the ancestor of Vilna Gaon, who gives you basic footnotes for where things come from. Another one that he brought over is the Ba'er Hetev. Ba'er Hetev literally means well explained. The Ba'er Hetev was meant to be an easy to understand Pirush on Shulchan Aruch. Mostly, he gives you a summary of the two major Mefarshim on the side. So in Yerodeah, especially in Yerodeah, mostly just gives you summaries. The Shach and the Taz sometimes get very long. So the Ba'er Hetev will give you a more processed, easy to read format, sort of an executive summary of the Shach and the Taz. Let's say you take a look here in Siv Dalet. Siv Hey, you see, Hatam Issa B'Shach, da-da-da. Siv Dalet, Kasav HaShach, da-da-da. Mostly he's quoting the Shach and the Taz and sort of summarizing them. Every once in a while, he'll quote something that doesn't appear there. See, here in the middle of Sif Katan Dalet, in the Ba'er Hetev, he quotes Matsasi Bit, what do they even stand for? Matsasi Bitaf Nun Shin Simen Samach Alf. So that stands for Taf, or the Chupchek stands for Chuvas. The Chuvas of, I did a little research, Nun Shin is the Nachlas Shiva. The Chuvas Nachlas Shiva from hundreds of years ago, writes in Simen Samach Alf, okay, in Simen 61 in the Chuvas Nachlas Shiva. You can look up the Bar Ilan if you'd like. I believe it is in the Bar Ilan. Had de batzel have davar harv. This is our last practical din in the world of davar harv. We say that onions are davar harv. Yes, we paskin as Tosus does, like as Shulchan Aruch does, like Tosus against the smak. Onions are davar harv. However, hainu imnis anuhu chai latoch tavshil. That's if you put it in chai. What does chai mean? Not exactly live, but raw. Exactly, raw. Avol in bishuluhu tchila levado v'achakach nesanu tocha tavshil baltil charifu sayhu. If you first cooked it separately and then you put it into the food, its sharpness is gone. So that's important. When you say the onions are davar charif, onions are only davar charif as long as they're raw. Once you saute them, they lose their charifus. And you'll notice he spoke about cooking it separately and then throwing it in. What's that about, the cooking it separately? This reflects something we've said in the past. If I saute, if you want to sound more upscale, if you saute onions in a fleishik pan, the onions become fleishik. And we say, even though it's only a not bar not, and even if the pan is any banyoma, right, the onions will become fleishik. How did that happen? Because when they started sauteing, they were still raw. Over the course of the next couple of minutes, they're going to lose their charifus as they fully saute, as they turn clear and they change color. So by the time they're done sauteing, they're no longer dvarim charifim. When they got started, they were. So in the first couple of minutes of the sauteing, the davar charif, the raw-ish onion was drawing the flavor out of the fleishik flavor out of the fleishik pan, and the onions were becoming fleishik. Oh. So what the Shulchan Aruch is saying is like this. What the Nachal Shiva is saying is like this. So if you have, let's say you don't have a big soup, let's say you want to make soup, and you want to make parva soup, parva vegetable soup. Okay. And you don't have a big enough power of a pot. Okay, but I have an Eina Ben Yomo Fleishik pot. Right? My big soup pot is Fleishik. That's, I think, the way it is in most kosher homes. And you have the big soup pot that you use for chicken soup. But we cleaned it out Matzah Shabbos, and now it's Thursday morning. So that soup pot hasn't been used for Fleishik since Shabbos. That's clearly an Eina Ben Yomo, right? So if I want to make a vegetable soup in that pot, by all means, it's going to stay parv. Right? If I had a big power pot, I use a power pot. I don't have a power pot. So I use the Eina Ben Yomo Fleshik pot, and I'll put in my tomatoes and my squash. I'll put in my lentils and my beans, whatever else you put into chicken soup, celery, enjoy, right? And the soup will remain parif. Why? Even for Ashkenaz, for Sephardim, of course, it's parif, not parnat. But even for Ashkenazim, that soup remains parif. That's one of the five clues of the Rama. The pot's Eina Ben Yomo, right? Great. Here's the question, though. Let's say I wanna add some more zest to my vegetable soup by including onions and garlic on the ingredient list. Okay, so go ahead. Cut out your onion and garlic and throw it in. But I want the soup to stay parv. So if I throw in raw onion and garlic into this pot, I now have a davar charif, and I'm going to, if I take the chicken soup pot, again, Eina Ben Yomo Fleishik pot. Right? I haven't used it for Fleishik since Shabbos, and now it's already Thursday. So if I just put in the tomatoes and the squash and the celery, it'll stay parv. But if I put in onions and garlic on the bottom and I saute those in the Eina Ben Yomo Fleishik pot, they're going to become Fleishik. That's rule. That's what we said, Chiddush number three, and Chiddush number two, and Chiddush number three. It's a Naparna, it's Eina Ben Yomo, but it's Davar Charif is going to become Fleishik. That's why Nachal Shiva says the solution is get out your small parv pot and saute. Chop the onion. If you want the soup to be parv, chop your onions and your garlic with the parv a knife on a parv a plate and saute them first in a parv a pot. So by the time you're done with sauteing them, they've lost their charifas. If you're going to saute them in the fleishik pot, so when they start sauteing, they're still pretty raw and they're still davar charif. So you have to make sure, that's what he says, first saute them going back into this Nachal Shiva. That's the case he's talking about. In Bishluhu Tchil Levado, first cook or fry or saute the onions and the garlic separately, meaning separately in the small power of a pot, and then put it into the Tavshil. Then put it into the vegetable soup that you have in the big Fleishik pot, and at that point, sauteed onions, sauteed garlic are no different than squash and tomatoes. They lost their charifus. Batel charifusayim. So that is an important and practical din. If I sauteed onions and then I took them out of the in a power of a pan, if you have a power of a pan, I sauteed onions, then I dumped them onto a fleshic plate, they do not become, they're not going to, that's not a din of davar charif. They're going to stay parv. That's just regular dogmash alu bikara. I toss the hot onions out of the pan onto the fleshic plate. They stay totally parv. I davar charif. It's no longer davar charif. It already lost its charifus when it was in the fire. It lost its charifus when it went from being raw to being cooked. So these are the dinim of davar charif. Again, davar charif the duchas sakina creates time transfer. It is an exception to naparnat and it's an exception to Eina Ben Yomo. What constitutes a davar charif? We pass on like Tosus, and that was Tosus' point. Tosus' chiddush was it's not just tzinon; it could be all sorts of sharp vegetables. It could be onions and garlic. There's examples of Shulchan Aruch added. It could be pickles. It could be horseradish. It could be lemons, but only as long as there are actually. It's the flip side of the same coin. There are no rules. There's no official list of what's a davar charif. If it's charif, it's charif. If it's not, it's not. So onions are also dvarim charif. And by the other hand, once you saute them, they lose their charifus. Now that wraps up the sugya of davar charif, both working through shak v'tayr of the Gemara and diukim the Gemara and Taisus, and we've seen how they directly intertwine. The kasha that Rashi raised, how to put the pieces of the Gemara together. And reading Taisus carefully, all this ends up feeding directly into practical halacha lemasa. Okay, as promised, we'll take a break here.